Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Orioles will try to break the seven-game losing streak as they're 16 games below 500, 12 games out of first, second-worst run differential in baseball behind only the Rockies. Nobody saw this one coming, but it is reality, and we're living it in real time. Now, the Ravens, they're expected to be maybe the best team in the AFC. Certainly one of the five best teams, I would think, in the NFL, as we look at rosters and schedules and everything of that nature, heading into OTAs in another, 10 days or so. And here to talk about that from USA Today, it's the Ravens Wires on the Window Nation guest hotline. Joins us every Tuesday. He is Kevin Allstriker. Kevin, good morning. How you feeling today?
Yeah, good morning, Bob. Is it football season yet? I think is the overlying theme in Baltimore with the way the Orioles are playing right now. And I feel like after we talked last week, the floodgates kind of opened on the Ravens news. Darius Washington's unfortunate injury, Derrick Henry's extension, the schedule coming out. So football is a year-round sport, and they certainly showed us that last week.
Yeah, and if the Orioles keep flatlining, we're going to be extracting as much juice out of that one as we can. The National Football League. But you mentioned our Darius Washington. Let's work that one up here. As Achilles injury, unfortunately, a young guy continues to battle that sort of thing, one injury after another. How does he get replaced? Is it going to be an in-house replacement, Kevin, or are they going to look outside the organization to do that?
I think it'll be some level of both. And the reason I say that is because there are multiple different pathways. The only other safeties on your roster now outside of Kyle Hamilton and Malachi Starks, it's Bo Braid and Sanusi Kane. And so being able to trust those guys, I mean, you can do that. But if I'm Baltimore, I kind of look to last year and see how they really didn't have a ton of options after they exhausted everything that they had. In my opinion, I think they should go out and sign a veteran guy. Now, does that mean they have to break the bank for the top option, which in this case would be a Justin Simmons? Not necessarily. There are other guys that could potentially be a decent option for them, like a Julian Blackman, for example. They could potentially go after guys like Marcus May. Like, not necessarily a high-level replacement, but someone who, where if you want to trust Bo Braid, and I think Bo Braid has a lot of intangibles that can replace our Darius in the back end there. If you want to go with that, that's completely fine. But if it doesn't work, and there's always a possibility that it doesn't work, I think that Baltimore having a veteran option behind him is probably the best course of action. So I feel like for me, it's going to come down to what these veteran guys on the market want. Are they going to want a big role, you know, to be the top guy? If that's what they want, that's probably not going to happen in Baltimore, considering Kyle Hamilton and Malachi Starks are there. But if they're willing to play a rotational role, being on certain snaps and figure out that, hey, there's an opportunity to win a Super Bowl, I think that could be a solid option for him. So I'd say a little bit of both.
Now, speaking of additions to said roster, John Jenkins was signed over the weekend late of the Raiders, 12 years in the National Football League, New Orleans, Seattle, Giants, Bears, Dolphins, among others. And coming in maybe, Kevin, off the best year he's had in a while, is 35 years old. But is he, in theory, the guy that replaces Michael Pierce here in 2025?
Yeah, this is definitely your Michael Pierce replacement, in my opinion. And he's a guy that has been durable over the last 2 years, a 17-game player in each of the last 2 years for Las Vegas. And we know, Bob, that one of the best traits you can have in the National Football League is availability. So I think, look, Pierce was a big loss for them this offseason, both figuratively and literally, because
right,
he is a big man. But John Jenkins comes in and he replaces and he fills that big hole. And I think that, again, he's going to provide less than Pierce did as a pass rusher. You know, Pierce, not that he was this all-world, like, 10-sack-a-season guy, but he was able to provide a little bit more push in the pocket than I think Jenkins will. I think Jenkins is truly your situational run defender. So on early downs, obvious run situations, you want John Jenkins in there. But as a pass rusher, he's probably not going to give you too much, or at least not as much as Pierce gave you, even though the bar was not set super high there. So that's fine to me, because they needed a specific skill set. They didn't need this Pro Bowl defensive lineman to come in. They have a really solid defensive line room already, obviously with Madubuike, Travis Jones, Broderick Washington. You add a guy like Aeneas Peabody to that as well. So I think Jenkins just fits a need. He fills in for Michael Pierce, and it's a pretty even one-for-one replacement. I think Pierce is probably a little better, but again, it's not the end of the world. I think Jenkins will be just fine in Baltimore.
Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, Ravens Wire, joining us here on the Fan. Bob Haney and Nolan McGraw with you on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Derrick Henry, the extension, 2 years, $30 million, $20 million guaranteed. Met with the media yesterday. Not surprised that he got extended. Expected that it would happen. Any surprise level, however, with the financial windfall that he got, and the fact also, Kevin, that he didn't really say that this was the last deal he was even signing, as he's now on the other side of 30 here.
Yeah, and I don't blame him for thinking that maybe he could go on, considering the fact that he has been one of the most used running backs in this league over the course of his career, especially in Tennessee. And last year in Baltimore, he certainly had that high workload, but he's shown no signs of slowing down. So it's a big number for a guy who's 31 years old as a running back. I get that. I completely acknowledge it. But I would have been more worried about it if he had shown signs of slowing down. And truly, with Lamar in that backfield, I mean, I feel like Lamar in that pairing with Derrick Henry, Lamar could extend Derrick Henry's career here. And it's not that, you know, those two guys, I mean, you look at the two of them, they make each other better. It just, you know, I know that Lamar got a lot of flack for having Derrick Henry on his team last year, which was ridiculous in my opinion, but it's just the truth of the matter where it just takes bodies away from the box, whether it's Lamar doing it or Derrick Henry doing it, opening up throwing lanes for Lamar, opening up running lanes for Henry. Those two get the best out of each other. And Henry talked in his press conference about how much fun he had this past season and, you know, how much he embraced Baltimore, loves Baltimore, the organization. And that, to me, shows that he is truly committed to winning here, to being here. The extension shows it as well. So once the Saquon Barkley deal got signed, obviously that Henry extension was going to cost more money. And I know that Barkley is younger, but you know, it's just kind of the nature of things right now. So for Henry, you get a bunch of guaranteed money in that extension. And I think for a guy who has a couple really, really high-level good years ahead of him still, if I'm Baltimore, I'm feeling good about that extension because you want to keep guys like that in the building, guys who obviously are superstar players, but superstar players that are committed to you and love playing for your team.
Now, who gets the next one? Is it Kyle Hamilton? Is it Tyler Linderbaum? Or is it Lamar? Who gets done next?
I'm going to go with Lamar. I think Lamar's will get done. And that's a tough cookie to crack, because I think that when you talk about a guy like Lamar, I mean, you're going to have to pay him the big bucks. And we saw Josh Allen's deal. Now Brock Purdy is making more than him. So that extension is not going to be necessarily easy to come about, but it would free up a ton of money for Baltimore both now and in the future. And it has to come before next offseason. I mean, Lamar's cap number next offseason is going to be upwards of $70 million. And you know, you can't functionally build a team around him with that number. And so I think the Ravens know that. I think Lamar knows that. I feel like it is just a matter of time. And look, with the way that quarterback contracts are going, and honestly, this is a conversation for guys like Hamilton and Linderbaum too, who you mentioned, but you know, the more guys that get signed ahead of you, it means the more money that you are going to make when you're at the top of your position. You know, we saw a guy like Kirby Joseph get that historic deal at the safety position. That means Kyle Hamilton's deal is going to go up. If a center signs for more than Creed Humphrey has in Kansas City right now, Linderbaum's deal will go up. We just saw Fred Warner sign an extension with the 49ers. Roquan's next deal, if he gets one from Baltimore, is going to go up. So that kind of philosophy is magnified with the quarterback position, considering how those contracts are going nowadays. But being able to have that short-term and long-term cap relief will be good for the Ravens because, you know, you can get away with it. The Ravens don't really need to add a ton more this offseason. But just getting that deal done, having it in the rear view and being able to focus, because they have a lot of other guys they have to look at, like an Isaiah Likely, Travis Jones, et cetera. So we'll see how it all plays out for them. But I would probably say, if I had to guess, and this is just a guess, I feel like Lamar would probably be the one.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, The podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to get
next. All right, Kevin, you mentioned the schedule. Last thing for you on this turn up Tuesday, Kevin Ostreicher, USA Today Ravens Wire. Oh, the fan. Josh Allen, first game. All right, then Cleveland to be determined. Jared Goff. Matt Stafford's in LA. Mahomes, CJ Stroud, and then after the bye, Caleb Williams. I said 12-5 looking at the schedule. You know, they're going to lose a game they probably should win, then they'll pull one out of the depths of defeat. So what do you think, 12-5 duplicating last year? Is there more to reach here? That home field advantage is always something you strive to get going into the playoffs, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I'd probably say right around 12-5, 13-4 is probably where I am right now. You know, there are a lot of tough teams on that schedule. And you mentioned the early stretch where it is Buffalo, Cleveland, Detroit, and Kansas City in your first 4 weeks, followed up by the Texans and the Rams. That's, you know, five out of your first six games are going to be against division winners. And that's always tough. And then, you know, if you wanted to call a portion of the schedule easy, it probably would be in the middle there. I think the week seven bye is a little, like, it's a tad early, but it's not the end of the world. I mean, we were talking last year about how late that bye was, and honestly, when it came, it was the perfect time. They kind of needed that reset. So it's given me a new perspective on bye weeks. But then, you know, you don't really play your big division games till the end of the season. Obviously, that week 18 game against Pittsburgh might have some pretty big implications to finish on the road. And honestly, Bob, kind of feels like baseball, where you get like three at home, three on the road. It's like mini series almost, where, you know, you have that stretch where you're at home for like a month, right, with the bye week. So I think that for Baltimore, 12-5, 13-4 is right around where I have. You mentioned it; they'll probably drop the game, or maybe two. They're supposed to win like they did last, or they're supposed to lose like they did last year, and then they'll pull out games as well. So we'll see what happens, but I think Baltimore's in a good spot this year.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.